Tonight, for the very first time, we have Reverend Aaron Betts, who's going to be giving the message.
Well, Father, we give you all glory and we praise you for being here. We're going to be talking about what we all have to live in every day, and that's the world. That's the fallen nature of the world. It's what we find ourselves in. It's what we're tempted by. So I titled this, Get Up and Out of the Fallen World. First, let's get a better idea of what exactly the world is, why it takes us from God, and is in fact in direct contradiction to God. The selfish and world-based nature of man, which we call the flesh, is of a like spirit to the forces of darkness. It really is similar to Satan. It's more similar to the things of hell than to the things of heaven. Similar to how Lucifer thought his way was best, our flesh thinks that our way is best. That we on our own are worthy and qualified of being the sole decision maker in our lives. When Adam fell, the direct link to God was disrupted. There was a barrier placed between the realms of earth and heaven. And as a result, man became earthbound and was now opened up to good and evil. Now there was the fight to do good and the fight to resist evil that just opened up. That was reserved for God. God was to be aware of good and evil, and man was just to be, and man was protected and just to be man. But that temptation opened up the gates to perceive all things and to be tempted. So this caused Eden to be exchanged for the world, and thus the fall took place. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." That's just the reality of reality. The temptation to be unchristlike is all around us every day. The world became the lens of which man began to perceive reality by. The fallen man was now linked to the world around him. His once strong link to God was muddied by the figurative waters of the flesh. Man's vessel started to relate to the world around him as it was taken from the Almighty King, the Father, so that just kind of man caved in upon himself and to his selfish desires. Man's choice to sin caused man to be cast out from holy protected realms where God could directly interact with man without a veil. Unfortunately for man, being in a realm that can contain sin means that forces of darkness can make their homes in such a realm, and that's what we got ourselves into. We see that every day. If you ever get a deliverance, you can see how real that world is. How the spirit world really dictates this world and how it is beyond vast. The thought life and everything, it's all open for demonic influence, unfortunately. As we know, when Lucifer fell, he was cut off from God the Father. All of God's holy and righteous attributes were taken from Lucifer and all of the angels that fell with him. They became everything that God is not. Every attribute that they possess is in line with the attributes of sin. Humanity's fall into sin opened up the doors to demonic oppression. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now that is such a huge statement, because the entire world around us, there's access that the enemy has everywhere, all around us. And a lot of Christians don't really see that. They see the world as it's kind of just the way things are, but really, the enemy's waiting all around. We must not take lightly the parallel of Lucifer's fall with the fall of man. It really is so similar. This likeness of thought will be the very defeat of man. And that is to say, man using his own understanding in favor of God's understanding. When we use our own understanding, we are plugging into the world as our source and leaving God out of it. Lucifer was the first example of pride, of self. He himself wanted to be exalted. And here's a passage in Ezekiel where God is addressing Satan. It's 28:15-17. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God. I destroyed you, O guardian cherub. From the midst of your stones of fire, your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. The very makeup of heaven is that which is in union together to praise and glorify He who deserves glory and honor, the Almighty Father. Lucifer rebelled against the idea and thought that he deserved the glory and honor. We could view this as an introduction to self, setting oneself apart from the unity that exists within creation for selfish desires, also known as choosing your own will instead of God's will for you. And now, how interesting how that could go so easy when we're thinking that we're making our own decisions, but really, that is akin and linked to the pride within the devil. Our little act of pride of thinking that we know best could be traced back and could be said very similar to what caused Lucifer to fall and to be taken from heaven and doomed. As it stands, many of us are guilty of going through much of life making our own choices without consulting with God. We were raised like this. Odds are that our parents operated in this manner, our friends, our teachers. The world as a whole largely operates out of its own understanding, using the mind alone to guide. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we are desiring to have the highest will of God made manifest in our lives, there is no room and no excuse for holding onto our own desires. Our minds end up getting in God's way. In that sense, we are our own worst enemy. Matthew 6:33-34. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And that's just pretty much telling us to just go about our business, doing what God wants us to do, not getting too involved, but still being proactive. And God will take care of us if we are in his highest will. When we choose to do things upon our own whims, for our own reasons, in our own way, and we don't look to the Father for what he wants, we are actually choosing the path that Lucifer did. It's important to start to take what we might seem like little things we prefer more seriously and check ourselves to see if we are in any level of disobedience, doubt, pride, and all the other things that could cause us to not trust God or to fall out of God's favor or to allow us to unwittingly walk out of God's will. Also, we are using our minds to solve all our problems often when we should really be using the Holy Spirit and the God in us, which is the God in us, to lead us. Let's further dissect what self really is and what fuels it. Self is based on the idea of separation. Lucifer's need for himself to be praised and separated him from the rest of heaven, which exists in part to collectively lavish the Almighty Father with his well-deserved praise. This right here shows that self can directly be linked to rebellion and pride, two qualities that will bind someone to the world and take them far from walking in the Spirit and quite possibly straight to hell. 1 John 15:17, and this is in the Amplified, which is one of my favorite translations. Stop considering the world precious with the result that you love it and the things in the world. If anyone, as a habit of life, is considering the world precious and is therefore loving it, there does not exist the Father's love in him. So if you're going around seeking approval from the world, having your thoughts be dominated by what's in the world, it's saying right there that the Father's love, the agape, is not going to be in you because there's going to be stuff in its way. You're going to let the world muddy those waters and cause blockages. Considering the world precious can be taken as the amount of consideration and value that we put into the things of this world. When we are looking to the world for comfort and constantly tossing around the cares of life in our head, we are clogging and cluttering our thought life and our very souls, because our souls exist in thought realms. You know, that's, our souls are subject to so many different things, which our thoughts can cause them to be subject to. We are giving up valuable space in us to worldly things when we could have the things of God filling those areas, which is what I was just talking about. How much of your thoughts are concerned with the things of this world? How much do you identify with the world? Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks with his heart, so he is. So the thoughts that you have in your head is who you are. It's what you allow in your life. It's what you allow in you. It's what you give out to other people. How much of your thoughts are concerned with the things of God? How much do you identify with the nature of God? Answering these questions will let you know what source you're tapping into. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, because they are not bound to this world. People that have these freely don't care what the world has to say about it. They don't care to attach themselves to the world. They're living in the Spirit. And continuing on that above passage of 1 John 15:17. Because everything which is in the world, which is the passionate desire of the flesh, the depraved nature, and the passionate desire of the eyes, insolent and empty assurance which trusts in the things that serve the creature life, is not from the Father as a source, but it is from the world as a source. And the world is being caused to pass away, and its passionate desire. But the one who keeps on habitually doing the will of God abides forever. So what source are you plugging into? In the days ahead, what source are we going to be plugging into? And to prepare ourselves for what's coming, we need to go ahead and be plugged in, be receiving those downloads. God created man to be in heavenly places. Man's choice forced God's hand into letting man fall into creature life, and that would be Adam. Adam's choice to take what Eve was saying and act on it. To where man was made more level with the world in a sense. Man's nature adapted to the world's temporal nature and away from the Spirit's eternal nature. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, which is the world. But the things which are not seen are eternal, which is the Spirit. The spiritual realms of which we once existed, and that exist all around us, and will always exist in whatever form God chooses for them to exist in. So we know that the flesh is how we plug into the world. This low way of perception and being was a result of the fall. The attributes of the flesh are not natural to us. Like I was saying, we are spiritual beings with membership in heavenly places. Thinking of them and thinking of, you know, the flesh and the world, as I was saying earlier, also is just thinking of them as just the way things are. You know, that does not cut it. Because the flesh and the ego and that sense of separation are symptoms of something detrimental and traumatic that happened to man. The result of separation from God. We got to see what it is like to be left to our own devices. Lack was introduced to the world. After the fall, the abundance that was in Eden was replaced by lack in the fallen world. Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. God's blessing of abundance was lifted, and lack and scarcity introduced the lower and base instincts of survival to man. Man had to work harder for things, face obstacles and to face the obstacles in a world without abundance. And this obviously breeds competition and all kind of other things which are related to self and ego. These things cause division and separation. This is all obvious observations that we can see plenty of examples of in the world around us. So we can see that that when we tap into the fallen world, we are tapping into the very nature of something that is steeped in scarcity, competition, and the like selfish desires. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that is to say that those who tap into the world as a source will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we can see these things portrayed in the world around us. We can see it in people. We can see it in entertainment and in culture. We can grasp that the enemy has some open doors to come in through, and some people are in trouble of hellfire due to these doors being open. What is seen is bad enough, but just imagine what is unseen, what goes unsaid, and this goes into people's thoughts. Most everyone is plugging into the world and the defilement around them in some way or another. Can you imagine how polluted the thought life really is in the world? If people put on their happy faces and put on what you want to see, you know, we're not seeing what's going on in their thought life and what is really behind the world as a whole. Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Ephesians 2:3. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So we know that before we were ever placed in our mother's wombs, that God the Father spoke with us about the mission He was sending us on, about what it's like down here, about what we're going to have to face when we come down here. We best believe that each of us were fully instructed about how this world is set up. We were told about the sin that is rampant in this world and how enticing it can be when we walk in the fallen nature. We agreed to come down to this world to be a light in the image of Christ Jesus. This light would influence others to become lights as well. And in turn, person by person, child of God by child of God, the world that has been ravaged and enslaved by the shadow of sin will turn from its zombie-like reliance on sin nature. And that zombie-like reliance, and I'm going to bring up some deliverance sessions as well, because it is amazing how the enemy can hold people's souls into states of captivity, which have them dumbed down, kind of a drugged out nature. They are subjecting themselves to sin in the natural, when in the spiritual, they're really being taken through certain sins over and over again, forced to do sins, to watch certain things. It's just that zombie-like reliance. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes going on there, but how that is true, I'm not just being cute with that word. We, as true children of the Most High God, must refuse to let the world taint us, refuse to be of the world, and embrace all the characteristics of light of the world, Jesus. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Now God spoke to each of us saints before the foundations of this world. He predestined us to yield ourselves to His highest will for us. God predestined us to make the choice to die to ourselves completely, so that Jesus can be the one alive in us. We, the saints, are called to completely surrender the part of ourselves that is linked to the world and our own selfish desires, what we think our life should be like. We need to give that up. With all hell going on around us, we would be fooling ourselves if we thought that we ourselves knew the best way to combat it. God knows how to combat the world and our adversaries. After all, He made it all. It was all created for and by Jesus and through Jesus. So when we try to put our own interjection there, well, that's pretty short-sighted. because we're just a speck. He created it. Let him live through us. Let him fight our battles through us. Let him have the victory through us in our life. He knows exactly what to do and when to do it, and he will do it. If we yield our will, if we yield our wills and our vessels to him, he will do it. He will use us in this effort, but our vessels can only be of service if we get out of the way and let God have all rule and reign. Let Jesus be the one who lives in and works in us. When we yield and do this, there is no possibility of failure, because it is written on the scrolls already in heaven, and all we got to do is get out of the way and let it be. Let God be God. When we are tapping into what we want for ourselves and our future, we are tapping into the world for our wants and our needs. We are bypassing the Father as our provider and looking to ourselves and the world as our provider. The world, non-believers, may have the slight excuse of ignorance on this matter, but we as saints of God have no excuse for going about it this way. Especially if we're in this building, we especially have no excuse, because we get fed some good meat. We are flat out saying, we know better than you, God, which in turn very much implies that we don't trust God. We are saying that we have a better answer than God does, when really the enemy has so many traps set in the world and reserves the most devious traps for those who have high callings on their lives and who get closer. And as people get closer and closer to God, the traps are going to get more vicious. The plans are going to get more intense. When we trust God and look to him alone to be our provider, pilot, and author of our life, we cut through many traps that the enemy has laid out for us, because those are all in the world. If we're not going to be in the world, we're not going to really be tripped on as many traps, unless God has us going through certain things, and there's all kind of fine lines there. God's highest will for our lives is a straight path for us that bypasses much of the weaving left and right into enemy territory. When we keep our hand in God's, he keeps ours out of the enemy and out of this fallen world. So how do we deal with being in the world? Romans 12, 1, 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. When we deny ourselves the things of this world, we are sacrificing to God. We are worshiping him. Every choice to stay out of sin and to avoid temptation is an act of worship to God. Every time we choose to deny ourselves, we put God in front of our sin. We make him more important than the sin. We worship and glorify him. We put him in front of the world and ourselves by doing this as well. This feeds our spirit and causes our Father to delight in us. It charges us. Sin has never been as rampant as it is now, and also as disguised as it is. Sin nature is in so much of society and passed off as acceptable. And look at what children are subjected to in their entertainment, fashion, music. Nickelodeon, look at Nickelodeon. It's very ungodly. It's pretty absurd, really. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's time to fall completely out of love with the world. Let's look at what this love of the world really is. We can actually term it as lust, a false love that is based in selfish pleasure and immediate satisfaction, based on satisfying the needs of self, which, if we are honest with ourselves, we can see is based on lack, competition, and ungodly appetites. Lust of the eyes, of the flesh, and the pride of life are all things to get under the blood of Jesus and under our feet. There is nothing based in this world that we can adequately use to allow us to understand the things of God. So then, why do we keep going back to it? Romans 8, 5-6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. People feel empty and search to fill holes in their lives. Often they don't realize that the hole in them is a spiritual one, and it can only be filled from a spiritual source. There is no better example of this than the typical midlife crisis. People that go through this, you know, there is a void in them that they're wanting to be filled. The midlife crisis hits them at a point when their life has become predictable, and most of the things that they have sought after, they've gotten in a way, or they realize that they can't get it, so they've reconciled themselves to that. So they're at a place of complacency, and they're at a place of feeling that, okay, there's more to life, I know. They've had the job for years now, they've had the spouse and the kids at home, maybe they have a car they have been pining after. After a couple of years, they get that, they get the couple of toys that they want. They still feel that something's missing. Their minds led them to believe that they would feel fulfilled once they checked off all the boxes on their to-do list. All their grocery list has been checked off. Life pretty much went how they expected, but what they figured would fill certain voids did not. They still feel incomplete. It's a classic example of trying to, you know, fill spiritual void with worldly things. But how common is that, and how much of that is such a obvious pointer that God put a hole in you and He wants to fill it with Him? Colossians 3:1-4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Who wants that? Hallelujah. His true ways must be what we strive to have in us. If we are looking at life for anything else other than Him, we are wasting our time and running around in circles. Square pegs and round holes. Worldly pegs and spiritual holes. When we look to Him, He will inform us of His highest will for each of us. There is nothing to be searching for that He isn't capable of leading us to or through. In fact, if we search without Him, we are opening ourselves up to pride, and this will lead to being further deceived by the enemy and giving our fallen nature the reins. Every one of us has a calling and a role to play. This is not a suggested role to play or a role that we can fit into or we might be good at. We were made for this role. The ones that God predestined were made for the roles that God has planned for them. Now, He can give people's roles. He can have all kind of backup plans, but we each have such an important, vital purpose. Every gift we have, whether activated or dormant, everything we have been through, God can and will use all of them for His glory and for the betterment of the world. In the coming days, the world is going to be caving in upon itself. All of the things in the world are going to be coming to an end. This includes infrastructures, economic systems, and whatever else you want to put in there. God's mercy and grace, which has been putting off the inevitable, will be lifted. Man's fallen nature and the enemy's influence on mankind will be seen. We will see the world and those who plug into it as their source left to their own devices. The world and those plugged into it will have a mirror placed in front of them, seeing exactly where sin and disobedience to God leads, and seeing exactly what a life without God will get you. We'll see exactly what happens when God is not the center of their lives and what our own understanding and selfish wills have for us. But what is coming could also be looked at as a great act, and perhaps the greatest act, of God's mercy. He will allow us to see what we are relying on, which is the world, and what that will get us when we put our faith into it and when we plug into it. The world as a whole will cry out to God such as never before. there will be less and less of the world left to desire as things fall away. It will be stripped and made plain to see for what it really is. This is indeed working with the plans of God. It will force those in the world to let go of it. After all, nothing in the world will provide refuge and sustenance. The Lord will be the only source of sustenance and security. And when we step back and look at it, this is such a high blessing. He's tried to wake us up in so many ways, and it's going to take a lot of people, all hell breaking loose, the world ending, their loved ones being, you know, tortured, whatever lies down the pike. But in the big scheme of things, if that's what it takes to save people, then it's all worth it. A true harvest can and will take place when the world is shown for what it really is. We are to look at this as God looks at it, the biggest opportunity to bring in souls to the kingdom that the world has ever seen. So who wants to get out of the world? It has nothing for us. And it's going to have less and less for us every day. And God's going to have more and more for us every day. And just as the darkness is going to get grosser, and like Pastor says so many times that we have not even began to see the darkness, well, we haven't began to see God's glory. That's going to be powerful. So I think what God would want to do is take you out of the world, to unplug the world as your source, and to plug into God as a source for an altar call. So whoever is ready to unplug from the world and to plug into God Almighty, go ahead and come up here. Let God take all mindsets from you that are addicted to the world. Let God renew your minds.